This is the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hophead Productions. I am Sean, your host. Across the way, Danny, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I got myself a nice coffee IPA to keep me company while we're doing our show today. It was brewed by King Harbor Brewing Company, and they partnered up with Stumptown Cold Brew Coffee from Oregon. It's King Harbor Brewing and Epic Brewing and Stumptown. So it's like a triple play of team ups. So it's actually pretty good. It's coffee and IPA, and when I opened it up, and you know, you get that initial like release of pressure from the can. It smell like coffee, and you can taste the coffee and the hops. It's actually a really good beer. It's called Steep Faces.
That's pretty funny because you don't really see IPAs being a coffee kind of beer.
Well, I mean, you know, you have like Ballast Point and a couple other breweries have done like the cream ales with coffee, and they've already moved beyond the typical porters and stouts with coffee. So I guess at some point somebody was going to have to try it with IPAs and see if it works, and apparently it works.
Fair enough. I'm just shooting down some orange shandy over on this side of the world. So it's nice. It's refreshing. I can't complain about it. After installing a floor and ripping out cabinets, all I really want to do is just sit on this couch and enjoy this beer.
Yeah, I know that feeling, man. Like today was like Midwest hot. It was like 90. It was only like 90 degrees, but it was also like 90% humidity. So, you know, I got home and like the first thing I did when I walked in the door was open the fridge, grab a beer and like chug some of it and go upstairs to, you know, take a shower and just wash the day off from work and just drinking the beer, going to the shower. It was very enjoyable and very refreshing.
I'm sure you're that guy that drinks beer in the shower, aren't you?
It usually doesn't make it to the shower. It's like a pre-shower beer.
Each their own, right? Each their own.
Well, I mean, you know, you can't really say too much bad about shower beers. I mean, there's a whole subreddit of hot chicks drinking beer in the shower. So I guess that's not really a standard of decency and what's normal, because there's a lot of things on Reddit that you probably shouldn't do in real life either.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just it's all straight make-believe.
You know, if my basis of, well, no, I mean, it's socially acceptable. It's on Reddit. I probably have a large issue with life at that point, right?
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean, I guess not to shit on Reddit.
I
mean,
I went to that subreddit and I was severely disappointed.
Shower beers?
Maybe I went on the wrong one. There's too many shower beer. Yeah. Wow. I don't know.
Just
naked,
the dudes.
There's naked people. Let's say there's naked people, not naked chicks on there.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's the occasional dude, but you got to be smart and just see. I just lurk on Reddit. I don't subscribe to anything, so I just look at the R all, and usually if shower beer makes it to R all, it's a hot chick. So that's I let the consensus of Reddit filter it out for me. I don't have to worry about dudes usually never make it. Actually, I take that back. Dudes never make it to the front page, and you know, unattractive females rarely do. So it's usually at that point all the filtration processes have been complete.
You know, I guess it makes sense that on the front page of Reddit, on r/all, it would be girls, but literally, like, on the front page of shower beer, it's literally 90% guys. It's okay, Danny. I know you're a bear, buddy.
There's no bears in San Francisco. The best joke in a kid's movie ever.
Yes, there is. That is a great joke.
And, you know, for all the, you know, far right that get offended by like different inappropriate things in animated movies and just, you know, quote unquote kids movies, like, you know, banning Beauty and the Beast from theaters and stuff, I'm surprised that one made it through. Either they weren't paying attention, or they just really didn't get the joke, or they have no idea what a bear really is in San Francisco.
They really don't. It happens. Them sad men.
Yes, and women. I saw a term on Reddit today describing the older women, the pearl clutcher, the pearl clutchers, like little old ladies still wearing their pearl necklaces every day, that complain about everything that everybody else does. But yeah, you know, last week I was driving home, and there was a beer I was hoping to get from my usual beer stop, La Bodega, out here in Riverside. Unfortunately, due to a mix-up, they didn't necessarily have the beer I was looking for, but they had also posted a couple other beers on their Facebook page that they had that looked pretty refreshing. So, you know, I stopped in. I figured worst-case scenario, I'd just get – even if I didn't get the one I was looking for, which actually looked really good. It was a stout called Unicorn Tears, barrel-aged with cherry. Sounded pretty delicious.
Not too shabby.
But I ended up getting a couple other beers, and you know, I was talking with the employee there named Kim that does the beer purchasing and all the – just takes care of all the beer issues and beer stocking. And, you know, I mentioned that, you know, about our little show, and showed her the sticker, just kind of explained it to her and stuff. And so she asked if she could have a couple. I was like, sure. And so I gave her a couple, and she asked – if it would be okay if she posted one up in the store. And I was like, that would be awesome. And she's like, can I put it on our Instagram page or Facebook? And I was like, that would be even better. And so I wasn't necessarily expecting her to do it. I just figured she was being nice, you know, because, you know, it's pretty bad when I am grocery shopping and we recognize each other and we can talk at the grocery store about life.
She like puts her head down and is like, oh God, it's this fucking drunk.
But you know, I just thought she was just being nice, like, you know, normal people are, like, they don't really mean it, but they're just nice. And so, but Saturday night, sure enough, she posted our sticker on their Facebook page for all the world to see. I thought that was pretty awesome of her, you know, just to give us some free publicity for our little page. I noticed we got a couple interactions, at least through their Facebook page. I'm hoping we've got a couple of new listeners out of it. They enjoy our show. They enjoy La Bodega, obviously. We have something in common, I guess.
Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, if they like it, I mean, that's one more person than just me, because I don't know if I like the show. I got to deal with you, man.
I know. To be fair, I go full Pee-wee's Big Adventure with this show. You know, it's like, you know, people are like, well, do you listen to your show? And I'm like, no, man, I don't need to listen to it. I lived it.
That is true.
But, you know, like, I guess, you know, when we used to go there a lot when I was in college, because I hung out with some friends that were in a frat house that was pretty much just right around the corner from there. And then, you know, I went quite a few years without drinking beer due to a unfortunate Oktoberfest incident where I drank like almost 200 ounces of beer in one night and was drunk enough that I was crawling through the Oktoberfest on my hands and knees to get to the bathroom in public, and basically just assigned me to a bench and gave me one of the designated drivers to babysit me the rest of the night. The best part of that story is at one point I was like, I had my head down on the table because if I sat up, I was going to fall backwards. And so I had my head down, and at one point I looked up, and I didn't know when they got there, but sitting across from me was this really cute girl. I just remember I was sitting up. I was like, hey, how are you? As I was falling backwards, and the designated driver just put her hand like basically between my shoulder blades and like just gently eased me back down. I was like, I'm going to put my head down again. And she said, okay. And I went back to the standard, I'm not going to fall up this bench position. But I pretty much stopped drinking beer for a while after that. And then, you know, the craft beer revolution happened, and going to a couple breweries with you and different people, you know, I returned to my roots at La Bodega. And she's pretty awesome. Like, she'll you know, if you have a question or looking for a recommendation, she'll definitely steer you in the right direction. And if she knows you're a regular or someone that appreciates the beer, she'll point you towards the more harder to find beers, the unicorns, as it were. And so far, she hasn't steered me wrong in her recommendations. She's pretty knowledgeable and pretty awesome over there.
Nice. It's always good. The guy over here that I've been shopping at is pretty good. He's pretty down to earth and does kind of points out a few of the same things. Sometimes I just don't feel like interacting with humans, so I just kind of swindle down the aisles by myself looking for something that says some kind of fantastic fruit or coffee mixed in with something awesome, something else that's super awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Like, sometimes you kind of just know what you want, but other times you're like, what do you got? What sounds good? Here's what I want. Here's what I'm looking for. Like, I went to a barbecue up by a pool, and I told her, I was like, hey, it's going to be hot. I'm going to be outside. What's something that's cool and refreshing that everyone can enjoy?
True that.
But, go ahead.
Nope, I just said true that.
Oh.
And then took a drink of my beer.
But yeah, so, you know, like, you know, as I was saying, if you're listening to this and you're relatively close to Riverside, California, just head on out to La Bodega. They'll hook you up and they'll make sure you get some good beers. Okay. And speaking of, you know, other beers that we both enjoy, Saturday was the first pickup day for Bottle Logic, their flagship of their monthly releases, Fundamental Observation. You know, because I'm part of their I did their week of Logic, so I was, you know, able to get one of their primary one, the Fundamental Observation, and then they did a variant called Number Crunch, which is basically the Fundamental Observation barrel aged, and then they added chocolate, cocoa nibs, so it's got a little bit of a chocolatey taste. And normally when you go, if you go there the weekend of, they'll have a you know, the primary beer and a variant. So this time they released a primary beer and a variant, and so they actually had another variant on tap that was only available there called Fear of Missing Out, and it was basically their Fundamental Observation with coffee instead of chocolate. And, oh man, that one is really good. Like, I think I have my problem is that I don't know if I like coffee and beer. You know, I don't need sugar and cream in my coffee, just put some beer in there. Because pretty much all the beers I have in my refrigerator have some form of coffee in them. It's pretty awesome, I guess, if that's what I'm into, and apparently I am.
Exactly.
But, you know, we got there a little bit later than normal, so I was kind of expecting it to be dead. But it was actually really crowded. You know, this being my first year, being able to go and pick up all the beers, I didn't realize exactly how big this beer was. You know, they posted a follow-up on Facebook, like on Monday or Tuesday, that they had over 5,000 people there over the course of the weekend, and I'm pretty sure most of them showed up on Saturday. Their Fear of Missing Out, the third of the variant with a coffee, was pretty much tapped out Saturday night. You know, normally they usually offer like a t-shirt and maybe a glass for swag to pick up merchandise.
Yeah.
You know, this time they had pretty much everything. They had hoodies, hats, shirts. And so I ended up picking up a hat and a hoodie just because the colors are pretty cool. It's like a black hat, and then the hoodie is like a charcoal gray, and they have the, it's like a turquoise blue is the color of the, on the bottle. Usually, you know, all their beers have like the basic black label, and then they'll have like one color as a highlight. So like Jam the Radar was like pink. They had a one that was like a baklava beer made with pistachios, so that one was green. So, you know, they definitely have their bottling down, and usually there's some clever write-up about the description of the beer on there. And for like the Number Crunch, there's no words. It's just written in binary, which is actually clever for a place that, you know, embraces the nerd beer life.
Yeah, they do. No, it's a pretty fun theming that they do there.
And so, you know, as a result of, you know, what happened with Week of Logic, with how many people showed up, and then the same thing with, you know, having 5,000 people show up over the weekend just to pick up this beer. They ended up announcing that they're going to do an expansion. And I'm sure this was in the work beforehand, but, you know, they picked the right weekend to announce it, I guess. Well, I guess the post weekend. And they're basically going to either double or triple their size of their brewery. They're going to add more bottling lines, more canning lines. So it seems like, I'm hoping that they're not like expanding too fast. Like, you know, a lot of, some breweries have experienced, you know, most notably Speakeasy, where, you know, they, you know, opened up, they didn't necessarily expand their primary location, but they also added new locations, and then they ended up getting into financial problems and they almost had to shut down. And then, you know, have other breweries like Modern Ballast Point, where they had to take on a partner to help expand because they opened up like four different restaurants throughout Southern California. So I'm hoping that Bottle Logic can, you know, stay true to their roots and kind of just be a small, you know, seemingly family owned brewery and still be able to accommodate their popularity without having to, you know, compromise their beliefs.
Yeah, and I mean, it really talks about just kind of getting into using artificial flavors and getting away from your home brew recipes to make it, to be able to produce it faster and a lot more, and then the taste just kind of gets compromised.
Right, and you know, when I was picking up the beer, you know, I ended up actually running into somebody I knew there, and so we went and got drank our beers in the, you know, the ones that we picked up off the taps. And then when we finished those, we went out and picked up our bottles because they actually had it outside, just because so many people were showing up that day instead of having it inside where they normally do. And at that point, it was just the two of us and our, you know, his sister and my wife. And so we were kind of talking to the guy a little bit. And, you know, I also just, I guess, worked up the courage after seeing La Bodega post our sticker on their Facebook page that I hit him up. And was telling him that I did a podcast and I showed him the sticker, and I ended up giving him one too. And, you know, talking about how we, you know, bring up them as being one of our, go-to breweries, especially because, you know, they're one of the few breweries that when they advertise a beer to be of a certain flavor, it definitely delivers of that flavor.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of breweries, they promise flavors and they just kind of, it just tastes like beer. But this place, you know, if they say there's coffee in it, it tastes like coffee. If they say there's chocolate in it, you know, et cetera. It's really awesome. And it's a cool environment. I've never had a problem. All the beer tenders are really friendly and knowledgeable, and, you know, they're really patient with people, and they're, you know, usually show up and there's a bunch of dogs sitting around hanging out. They always have a food truck. You know, it's the ideal, seemingly ideal, location and, environment for a craft brewery.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a fun time to go chill and relax, and I agree, they definitely deliver on the taste. You never really have to question what you're getting, because what it says on the bottle is what you're getting.
Yeah, you know they have a lot of you know, different barrel aged beers, but they also do some sours with fruit and stuff. And so, you know, you take a taste and it's sour, but you can also taste blueberry or strawberry or whatever the flavor that they decided to, whatever fruit they put in that particular beer. It's pretty awesome.
Exactly.
And, you know, so, you know, the reason we got there later than I normally do is because that day was, I went with some people to Disney's convention for, the biannual convention D23.
Did you see Mickey Mouse?
I was in the merch line, but I guess there was a parade going through. I saw the balloons from the parade, but I didn't actually see the parade. But my wife's friend, her husband, was coming back from another section. And he saw the parade and sent pictures. So I saw, I guess, a picture of Mickey Mouse in the parade that I saw the balloons for. I don't know if that counts.
I guess so.
But, you know, in the past, you know, we went there 2 years ago, and they had where you could pay for basically gold membership, and the gold membership at that time got you into a separate line. It got you in an hour early. And that was pretty nice. We did that. We walked in, you know, we were able to check out a couple things before the major crowd got in. And then, you know, the floor was fairly empty. This year, you know, they still charge people to do the gold membership, but instead of getting in early, I guess you got free things or discounts, but only the person that paid for the thing was able to get it. So, you know, we showed up at like 7:30 and the line was already super long. And at one point it went from the convention center to the Paradise Pier Hotel.
Wow.
Yes. And I thought, you know, the 13 block line at Anime Expo was pretty bad because, you know, it didn't just go straight there. It snaked around the convention center back and forth and back and forth and all around. And so, you know, by the time we got in, the convention center was already pretty full. And, you know, first thing we did, you know, I figured we wouldn't get in, but I just wanted to go see what the just in case. The first panel in the morning, you know, was at 10:30. So, and it was the Marvel live action movie panel.
Yeah.
Where pretty much most of the Avengers showed up and they talked about other movies that are upcoming for, you know, the live action universe, Dumbo and stuff like that. And so we found somebody and we're like, is there any room left in the live action panel? And the guy was like, oh no, that was, we gave out all the wristbands at 4 o'clock this morning.
What? 4 o'clock in the morning?
Yes.
Holy shit, at 4 o'clock, man.
Yeah, I guess people camped out overnight, and there was somebody out there giving out wristbands. I guess that's something they don't tell you about, but, you know, I thought, you know, I would think that, you know, with them having people camp out, I'm guessing either they just want to disperse the people that were camping out, or, you know, because I'm sure, you know, even if they gave out a wristband, people would still camp there because they wanted to get a decent seat, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, at that point now, it's like, why are they even closing the hall? They should keep the, you know, at least, if not the main convention hall open, they should at least keep the exhibit, the panel rooms open so that people have a place inside where it's safe and they have bathrooms and stuff. Because, you know, if it's becoming a thing of you have to be out, you have to camp out overnight to go to the first panel in the morning and something happens, that's definitely something that either the convention center or Disney could probably be held liable for in a civil court, especially in California.
Yeah, that just doesn't fly. I just can't believe that they had people camping out and doing that. I just, man, that's just crazy to think that D23 is actually like a super legit con.
Oh, it's Disney, so it's already crazy. But then you add, you know, the fact that it only happens every 2 years. The fact that, you know, not always, but, you know, at the live action panels, they'll pretty much guaranteed to have at least a couple of the stars from the live action panels there. So, you know, from the movies there. So, I mean, it's pretty big. I guess at one point we were outside eating and the other guy that was with us, he was looking at his phone and I guess Jon Favreau was just roaming the floor.
Oh, nice.
And so, you know, I mean, that's why you go. You go to see Disney and you go to see stars and they have, you know, and people go to buy stuff, the exclusives. And, you know, somebody, I guess it was Orange County Register, somebody did a write-up on Friday from the convention and talk about, you know, just super long lines and, you know, the merchandise being sold out relatively early, at least the exclusive stuff.
Has he been to a con before?
Right. Well, and you know, we were there Saturday and just seeing the people leaving with like, so many people leaving with just 5-10 bags of stuff walking out of the stores. You know, we were eating, we saw some guy leaving with like, you know, like 8 bags, and each bag he had 3 of everything, you know, which was the maximum you could buy. And it's like, you know, if you're buying 3 of everything, it's pretty obvious you're going to resell it, you know. But at the same time though, it's like, they're not stopping you, so I guess I can't be mad at you. I can only be upset at them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and there's a lot of, like, this issue running in at, like, you know, not just at D23. It's become an issue at pretty much all the larger cons, like, you know, New York, Emerald City, San Diego. It's just, you know, between just the sheer number of people being there, the fact that, you know, they want to make the exclusive items, I guess, a little more harder, rare, so that they have some kind of meaning to the people that do get it, as opposed to just, I mean, I understand not everybody should be able to get one, I guess, because not everybody wants one. So if you print, if you make one of everything for everyone in attendance and not everybody wants one,
yeah,
now all of a sudden you have leftovers, and what are you going to do, burn them or sell them to people that didn't show up, you know? And so, but, you know, maybe caps on the limits of one per person in the group, or one per, because, you know, when you, you know, with eBay, and especially out here with Frankensons, you know, I'm sure if I could, if I went to Frankensons, if I go to Frankensons, you know, tonight, if I went tonight, or even if I go this weekend, there's probably going to be a lot of D23 exclusive items there being sold for huge markups.
Oh, hell yeah, they are, there is, man. It's ridiculous.
You know, and, you know, this weekend is San Diego Comic-Con as well. And so another, you know, if you go there Saturday, you and I've done this in a couple times in the past. You go there, you go to Frankenstein's on Saturday, you wait, you know, it might not be first thing in the morning, but by noon, a lot of the vendors already have exclusives for this year's Comic-Con out for sale. And surprisingly, it's not completely ridiculously priced. Like something that might be, you know, $125 might be sold for $175. And at that point, it's like, wait, I only have to pay you $50, so I didn't have to stand in line. I didn't have to drive to San Diego. I didn't have to buy a ticket for San Diego, and I didn't have to stand in line. At that point, I'm almost foolish not to buy it from you.
Exactly. I mean, it's just funny to say because, like, they literally, like, people, like, go down there, and it's like, you go there on set, you'll go to Frank's on this Saturday, and they'll have stuff exclusives from them going on Thursday and Friday. You're just like, it's just so ridiculous to see.
Right, and it's, another thing is too, is most of them don't only have one or two of each thing. Some places will have 5 or 10 of a thing just sitting there for sale. I remember the first year I went to Frankenstein's, there was somebody that just got a temporary table for the weekend, and that's all they had was San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. Like, they went down there with a bunch of people and either, you know, people they knew or just was somehow able to get people to sell them the exclusives they bought. But they had everything, and they had multiples of them. It was pretty crazy how fast and vast their network of exclusive purchasers are.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, that's pretty shady, but, no, I mean, each their own, man.
But, yeah, I mean, the line moved a lot quicker here, though, than it did at Anime Expo. It wasn't a thing of, you know, people getting, you know, people weren't getting in until, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But, you know, the fact that we showed up at, you know, 7:30 in the morning and, you know, we had to stand in line for, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours to get to the front of, you know, convention hall. You know, they started letting people in. They started pre-filling the entrance area like they did at Anime Expo, and even then it still took us until right when the con opened up for us to get in. You know, security was super tight. They had not only did they have the bag check, but they also had us actually go through metal detectors here. And then we went out to eat and they re-scanned our badges. And I was like, oh, no, we've already been inside. We're trying to re-enter. And they're like, oh, no, everybody comes in through here. We have to basically redo the entry process each time.
Wow, that's pretty intense, man. I mean, I just don't think, I think Disney just doesn't fuck around with shit, you know?
Right. I mean, yeah, exactly. They'll hyper-check everyone's bags and stuff walking in, but they'll let everybody just sleep outside in the middle of the convention center grounds to get into a panel.
Yeah, they will.
They're like, yeah, our liability doesn't extend beyond the doors. Once you come inside, you're our problem. But if you stay outside, not our problem at all. That you made the choice.
Exactly.
All right. So, you know, like for the live action panel, the other thing that was kind of crazy was from what I was reading. I don't know because I wasn't crazy enough to spend the night. That they were confiscating people's phones as you were walking in to make sure that there was no footage leaked to the interwebs.
Wow, so outside of, if you wanted to get in the panel, you had to surrender your cell phone?
From what I read, yes. I don't know if that actually happened or not, but from what I read...
Damn.
Dude, it's Disney. They don't mess around, like you said.
Yeah.
But, Mickey
Mouse
actually
don't give a fuck, man. He don't give
a
fuck.
No, man. This is exclusive to you and only you. But even then, somehow, you know, of course, you know, they're nerds, man. Footage still showed up on the interwebs. And so, you know, they actually had like a little Marvel area. And inside that area, they had a statue of Thanos as to the scale that he's going to be in the movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess further example how large he's going to be in the movie, they had Josh Brolin try on the gauntlet that is the same size as the one that Thanos is on the statue was wearing. And it was about as big as his, like, chest. It was huge.
Jeez.
But I really didn't get a lot of information out of there. They kind of talked about they showed a screen that had basically all the movies that were going to come out between D23 now and next D23 in 2019. And there was about 20 movies up there between, you know, the, you know, Pirates movie, the all the Marvel movies, the live action Disney's, you know, Dumbo is going to finally getting worked on, Jungle Book 2 and all those movies. They're keeping themselves busy and they're not messing around when it comes to releasing movies. It's at that point, it's like every month or two, seemingly there's going to be a Disney movie coming out for the next 2 years.
Wow. It's pretty impressive.
But at the same time though, I guess, you know, you're not really necessarily going to develop Disney movie burnout because, you know, you can go see Beauty and the Beast and then go see, you know, the Avengers. And they're not necessarily the same movie or the same demographic, per se. So, it's not like you're watching the same movie.
Yeah.
But the, like the, they announced more details about the live-action Dumbo. It's still, and that was the first one they actually announced when they talked about redoing their animated movies as live-action. They still have Tim Burton set to direct. And so, because of that, Ava Green is going to be in the movie because until they break up, she's going to be in every single one of his movies. You know, just ask Winona Ryder and Helena Bonham Carter and a couple other actresses that were dating him that were in his movies and no longer in any of his movies. You know, he's not subtle with his pattern.
No, not at all. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes, basically if there's an actress that's in multiple Tim Burton movies, you know that they were having sex. And it's not because – it's not saying that they're bad actresses. They're, you know, like Ava Green and Helena Bonham Carter and Winona Ryder are all really good actresses. It's just they're good actresses and they were having sex with Tim Burton. And so he just wanted to, I guess, hang out with them on set so they could have, you know, downtime sex.
Exactly. Somebody that would be – that would want some to get some frustration out with him.
Exactly. You know, and, you know, there was a few years ago where on the interwebs where somebody hacked into a bunch of different actresses, you know, phones and laptops and found their naked selfies mm-hmm. and posted them as, you know, wherever they could until they got taken down and they'd get reposted.
Yeah.
Ava Green actually had one of the best opinion quotes on that. She's talking about how the reason why none of her the reason why she wasn't hacked and none of her pictures were put up on the internet is because pretty much in every movie she's in, she takes her clothes off. She's like, they've already seen it. If they want to see me naked, they just go watch one of my movies. They don't have to search for it. They don't have to do any detective work. It's there.
That's pretty funny. I thought you were going to say one of the girls with the best body. I was like, geez, Danny. I didn't know you were a fan of those sites, you filthy mongrel.
You know, even if you didn't look at the pictures, if you went on Reddit or, you know, Yahoo or just anything internet related for about a month, the stories popped up. And so, but it was just pretty funny that she was like, yeah, you know, I solved that problem. I just take off my clothes during movies. She's like, but it's better to see it on the large screen than on a computer screen anyways.
It's a fair point.
And one of the things really cool they announced at D23, and I guess it's awesome that we're postponing our trip to Florida until maybe we can postpone it until this is built, is they're doing a Star Wars themed hotel down there.
No way. That's fucking ridiculous.
And so, like, each visitor gets their own like story. You know, the rooms are done up like you're in a starship. If you look out the window, you actually don't see outside. You see stars. So it looks like you're flying through space.
Oh, wow.
While you're in the hotel. So, you know, one of my friends posted a thing about that on Facebook and tagged a bunch of people. And I made the point that, you know, if you're there and you really just don't want to look at Florida, that's the best hotel for you to stay at, because they obstruct the hideous views of outside Florida.
Yeah, they're helping you out.
Exactly, they're doing you favors. So, you know, it looked really cool, just the concept. You know, as Disney calls them, the cast members, they're all basically walking around in the different Star Wars getup. They're there to make sure that, you know, your level of immersion is kept at the appropriate Disney level. So that sounds like, I guess, life goal that has been unlocked. Like when you when you're playing an RPG and you level up and there's all of a sudden brand new side quests.
Yeah, makes sense you'd be happy for that.
I mean, even if you're not necessarily a Star Wars fan, just the concept seems pretty cool. If you're, you know, even if you're not necessarily Star Wars, but just sci-fi.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that you get to stay in a simulated environment.
Yeah.
It would just be better if they had like a zero gravity room instead of an exercise room, because, you know, nerds aren't going to use that shit.
That's true.
So, but yeah, I mean, that looked really cool. So they haven't broke ground on it yet. So we got a few years of anxious anticipation and perfection of technology before it actually does open.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a while. They haven't even started it yet.
The only thing that I hope is, like, they have, like, the Star Trek doors where you you don't have to use your key card to open up. As long as it's, like, on your person, you walk up to your door within a certain proximity and it mm-hmm. automatically opens for you. That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, it would. Wouldn't be too shabby at all.
No, I mean, they already have the car technology where you don't need to take the key out of your pocket to unlock the car or even start the car. So if they can incorporate that into your hotel keypad and just walk up to the room, and as you get to the room, it opens for you, that would be even more outer space immersive. And I'm sure that a lot of the doors would break faster just because, you know, assholes like me would just walk in and out of the room for about an hour until I got bored of it. If I got bored of it. Oh my God, look, the door opens. Oh my God, the door closes. Oh my God, the door opens. Are we going to go, like, run rides at Disneyland? Fuck that place. Look how awesome this door is.
Go to all the way to Florida just to hang out at the room.
And look out the window of space.
Exactly.
Well, we're gonna go visit Harry Potter Land. Have fun, I guess. You're missing out on all the cool stuff. I'm gonna go hang out in the Zero Grav Gym. I'm gonna go on the holodeck.
Danny, you would probably take a beer in there just to make it easier to have a beer.
You're saying that like you wouldn't.
I can only imagine.
So, this week, the beta for Destiny 2 has launched. I have not had a chance to play it, as that I did not pre-order it. But you in fact, did.
Scrub.
You're probably not wrong when it comes to that game.
And there was plenty of jumping cards, and I immediately thought of you and said that you would not enjoy this.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like, you guys had been playing that game for, what, 2 years at that point when I finally decided to give it a shot? Yeah. And your idea of guiding me through an area was I'd load in and I'd look up. I'd look around just to kind of look at the surroundings because I'd never been there before. It's new to me. I'm like, oh, yeah, this place looks cool. Where the fuck did you guys go? And it's like, oh, we're over here. Yeah, where's over here? Just follow the – look at the map and follow us. And it's like, okay. And so you basically gave me, you know, 30 seconds to figure out something you guys had 2 years to practice on. And the fact that, you know, our mutual frenemy, Mike, in Wisconsin there, you know, as soon as I would, like, I'm like, no. All right, I got this jumping puzzle down, and he would run up to me and just push me off the ledge, and it's like, all right, do it again.
Mike has no fucking chill.
No, he doesn't.
Oh man!
Like you can't jump because you've never done it before. This puzzle is the first time you're doing it. We all did it on our first time. Why can't you? Is what I got from you guys. Here, push. Do it again.
You're not 100% wrong.
I don't even think I think I'm less than 10% wrong on that because. You know, I had the worst senpai ever, you know,
you through
the buddy system. Like, he was the one that would, like, abandon me the most. Like, we'd go to do a trial or a raid or something, and he'd already be at the end boss, and I would just barely be, like, summoning my little scooter mobile or whatever they're called.
Scooter mobile.
my speeder bike, I guess. I'm going to call them speeder bikes, because that's what they were. They're just a ripoff of the Star Wars speeder bikes.
Fair enough, if that's how you feel.
And so, you know, I would just be, like, summoning my scooter bike.
I just can't get over a scooter bike.
My speeder bike. Oh, man. And he would already be at the final boss, like, all right, I'm at the boss waiting for you. When you get here, let me know. I'm going to go... jack off or whatever he does in his spare time.
I thought he had to clean goat stalls.
I'm gonna turn my fan up all the way and put my speaker into it so that you can't talk to me or to each other.
Yeah, I remember that too.
And
what a dick.
I hire mariachi bands to show up to my neighbor's house at random hours of the day, random days of the week, whether it was midnight or noon or Monday or Saturday. It seemed like there was always some mariachi band playing at his neighbor's house.
There's always, like, kids screaming, too.
Well, I mean, that was from his basement, but that's different.
So it is. Oh, man. So, yes. So, Destiny 2 expansion or demo came out yesterday.
The beta
came out yesterday for people that pre-ordered it on PlayStation. So Xbox users had to take another dick in the ass and wait another day. Had to wait a day because it just seems like Bungie just loves to fuck with Microsoft. So I decided to switch consoles. So I moved from the Xbox to PlayStation so we could get all the fun toys. And Danny, I just want to say the visual graphics is so nice. Like, you could just tell, like, the 360 and the PlayStation 3, like, handicapped Destiny 1. Easy. Like, hands down. No argument.
Right, and that's happened with a lot of games where, you know, they've done multi-platform support and then they killed it, and it's just, like... PC Master Race wasn't wrong that the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 sucked.
Yeah, I guess so, but I don't know. I think it was terrible for them to try to launch it on the four consoles. So the graphics are stunning. So they re-engineered some of the villains, so like the Satyrians and the Phalanx and some of the other people. They look different, and their abilities are different, and it's super awesome. Like, they look so much better than before.
They kind of, a lot of them just look like amorphous blobs, especially, like, the bigger ones. There wasn't much detail to them other than they just looked like they, like, had humpbacks and faces.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Danny, like, I cannot wait to see what the ogres look like in Destiny 2. Like, I didn't think I would want to play against the Hive, and I want to play against the Hive because I think they're going to look so much more terrifying. It's like, because, you know, in Destiny, like, they really portrayed the Hive as being, like, these monsters that you should fear. Like, they were supposed to be, like, basically things that kept you up at night and just full of nightmares, and because of the graphics that had to get, like, pulled back, they just weren't as, like, scary looking. Danny, I think it's going to be different in this game if we do see the Hive.
That's cool. I know what I was going to say. You know, when you were talking about how that they kind of ruined the game when they launched on all four consoles. That probably wasn't the only issue that the Destiny 1 had at launch.
Yeah. And a lot of people were talking shit that and I mean, Luke Smith is probably an asshole, but you know what? Sometimes you need a genius asshole every once in a while. So Luke Smith was in charge of the first raid that we ever played, and that was the Vault of Glass. And then he was in charge of the expansion pack for the King one with Oryx. Super, super good. And you could just tell. And he is the lead director on Destiny 2. And you could just already tell. I mean, the cinematics from this. Because you get to play, and if you didn't know, in Destiny 2, the demo, you get to play the first level, you get to play a strike, and then there's some PvP that you get to play. So I haven't done the PvP yet, but you just tell from the story and the intensity, like, everything is starting to really sync up. And, I mean, the game was so much fun to play. And it was just like, I honestly was disappointed that I can't, like, play more of the game, that I'm stuck on a demo. Like, it was almost like, it's almost worth it not to play the demo so you don't get more hype for the actual game.
You mean the beta?
The beta.
You know, real quick, side note. I can't blame you for calling it a demo, because there was a point where game companies would release a demo, like, you know, and sometimes they would do betas and demos, but it seems like a lot of game companies are basically, I guess, you know, double using the beta as also a demo. Mm-hmm. And I was reading a thing online, and some guy was talking about how it was kind of bullshit that you had to pre-order to get early access to the beta, because, you know, he's not going to pre-order a game and play the demo and have it suck and not want to play the game.
Yeah.
But I guess he didn't, I don't know if he thought that you had to have pre-ordered the game to only play it, or if he knew that it was just a early access and that you're going to get, you know, some time to play it without pre-ordering it. But I guess at that point, everybody's mostly gone through the content, that has pre-ordered it. And I don't know how many people, what percentage of people that pre-ordered it were going to play the beta versus people that were just hoping to try it out and see if it was better at launch or whatever than Destiny 1. So that'd be kind of interesting to see the numbers of people that show up when the beta goes full public.
Yeah, exactly. That'll definitely be interesting to see. Because it seemed like there was some people, like, I mean, I got into the strike pretty quick, and there's a part in the first level where you team up with some other players, so wasn't all that bad at all. So that part was good to see. Definitely, there's not. You could just tell that it's a beta, though, because, like, they definitely have a lot of stuff locked, and they're definitely hiding different kind of secrets. The gun system is a little different. I know, like, as a Titan, my heavy weapon was a shotgun. And, I mean, it was, like, one-shotting almost everything I was running across in the first level and in the strike. But it was still kind of funny to see some of the changes. So you get basically a kinetic weapon or just a basic gun. And then your secondary is kind of like a primary, but with elemental weapons. So they're like, you could have like the same pulse rifle, but it does like fire damage instead. And then for your heavy weapon, that's where you have like your rockets, your grenade launcher, your shotgun, your sniper, and your other stuff. So that part was a little different to see. The menu is very similar. I didn't like how you select what gun you want and what armor you want. Is basically copy paste from Destiny 1. So I have no issues with that, because I think it's built good, and don't mess with something that works.
Right. that was one of the few things that that Destiny 1 actually did pretty well was, you know, your weapon management. You knew what weapons you had in your inventory versus what weapons you had equipped, and it was pretty easy to go through and relatively quick to make changes.
Yeah. So you get to start off with two subclasses. So for the Titan, you get Striker, and you get the new you get your new Void subclass with the shield. The Hunter has Golden Gun, and then and it also has this new arc like lance that you get to do. And then your Warlock also has it's I didn't try it last night. So I think it's going to be Nova Bomb again, and then they also do have that solar sword. There's definitely the way that they presented it looks like there's going to be four subclasses overall. So I'm definitely interested to see how they do that. And I think they're hiding I think they gave you a generic setup for your subclasses. And I think they picked certain perks. They let you choose like what grenade you want to use and what kind of certain other things, but they really didn't let you pick on like how you could tweak your super. So I definitely think there's some secrets still hiding that we'll have to see later on that piece.
Right, or either the focus of the beta wasn't necessarily the supers. They wanted to just test and make sure like the people playing. You know, because as much as you play test a game, you're not going to be able to fully get the server load. And, you know, you never know. There's always random people that will go and do things that your playtesters never thought to do just because, you know, they made the game and they know you're not supposed to do that. So they don't necessarily know what would happen if, you know, you do something you're not supposed to do. Like, I know I have a friend that she, when she does RPGs, she tries to do a bunch of random things. And sometimes if they didn't figure it out during playtesting or whatever, she kind of breaks the game for herself. But, you know, with the betas, you know, they just want to test to make sure that, you know, if somebody goes over into this area and jumps and does this thing, that they're not going to get locked out of the map, or there's no exploits they could use. Like if they found an area where they can just hide and camp and no one can, they can snipe everybody, but nobody can kill them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there'll definitely be probably some, There'll be some stuff that comes up, I'm sure, that people will find. I mean, I think at one point when I was fighting the giant Minotaur in the strike, I got like launched up in the like really high in the air, randomly. He shot like the ground, and I jumped to get away from like the fire that was like covering the ground, and somehow it like launched me super in the air, and I had to make sure to use my double jump to land safely so I didn't die.
Right, and that's probably the kind of stuff they're looking out for, just to make sure that, you know, wait, why did that guy get jumped in the air? And, you know, if it was a one-time thing or if a lot of people are experiencing the same thing, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree with that piece. Outside of that, I mean, the gameplay feels generally that it's the same controls as the last game, so nothing's changed on that. It seems like they added another, like, perk or ability move. Like, you could generate, like, so for, like, the Hunter, you could do, like, a double roll and, like, run out of the way. I don't know what the Warlock is yet. And then the Titan, you could drop, like, a wall in front of you, so that way you could either, and I guess one of the perks is that you could shoot over it. Like, you could use it as cover to do damage. So that was pretty cool. Otherwise, like, I haven't played the PvP, so I can't say anything how that is, and I haven't been on the Destiny subreddit, or I haven't really read anything, so I won't make any comment about the PvP. But I mean, overall, Danny, I mean, I liked it. I mean, I think I'm sure when the beta comes out to the general public, I'm sure you'll give it a try. But again, it was very beautiful. It felt good. The story seemed really on point. I think it's going to be good so far. I mean, I think Luke Smith really knows what the people want. And I think I'm convinced that he's going to deliver on Destiny 2.
Yeah, it's nice when you can see that, you know, a studio is fixing the mistakes they made, and they bring in somebody to kind of clean house, and who actually, you know, possibly is somebody who plays games similar to that or knows more about games and cares about the community and just wants to make sure everybody has an enjoyable time playing their game. You know, because the same thing kind of happened with Final Fantasy 14 when it first launched. You know, version 1.0, it was just, from what, you know, the people that I know that played it and just, you know, listening to different things online and stuff, it was just basically a catastrophe, like even worse than Destiny 1.
That's pretty bad.
To the point where, like, partway through, they brought in this new, the guy who's in charge of it now, you know, Yoshida, everyone calls him Yoshi P. you know, he did same thing with Destiny 1. He kind of did some of the expansions for version 1.0, but just realized that the engine they used to make the game could not handle it, was not made for MMOs. They used the same engine they used to make Final Fantasy 13, which, you know, looks beautiful for a single player game, but like anytime you had more than like a certain number of people, it basically just stopped working.
Yeah.
So they decided to write into the story that a giant dragon that was locked in the moon was released and basically destroyed everything, or most everything. And so, you know, they completely shut down the game, they rebuilt it, and came out with version 2.0. And so basically through from there, there's, you know, small number of survivors that are trying to just make it through, and you're fighting against, you know, the Garlean Empire. And so they just basically, instead of trying to, you know, patch it, they blew everything up. And that kind of almost seems like, you know, how the version, the difference between Destiny 1 and Destiny 2 might be, where, you know, they did what they could with Destiny 1, but they've put all their work and their love into making sure that Destiny 2 is a playable, beautiful, enjoyable game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's funny to see that, hear the similar story. I think it's kind of weird. Like, I think they were just really trying, they wanted probably that MMO to be super beautiful, just like the other games. So, but to your point, like, if it wasn't built to do that, you gotta start from scratch. You definitely use similarities, but everything's different.
Right.
With multiplayer versus single player.
And then, you know, they just had an expansion come out, Stormblood, and this was the first expansion where they ditched PlayStation 3 support. And so, you know, you could tell when you're going into a dungeon or an instance where, you know, everyone's there and, like, a couple people are still loading in, and it's like, oh, those are PlayStation 3 players. You know, it would take anywhere from 5 to 30 seconds of extra longer for them to come into the instance than everybody else did. So it wasn't, you know, and then, you know, there's a lot of bosses and fights where you have to do a lot of running and dodging. And so if there was a lot of people, you know, that's why I upgraded the PlayStation 4, is because if there was a lot of people on screen, the frame rate would just die, and it was lag everywhere, and people just were dying. And so the game was pretty much almost unplayable in large groups anyways on the PlayStation 3, just because of the graphics and the drain on the system. But, you know, once I got the PlayStation 4, you can definitely see the difference in the graphics, the same like you were saying with Destiny 2, and just the lag of, it didn't matter how many people were on the screen, it didn't lag nearly as bad, if ever. So, you know, I think they made the wise choice of getting rid of the support. I know some people were upset, but, you know, you can't. They had the same problem with Final Fantasy XI, the last MMO they did, where they kept PlayStation 2 support for so long that whenever they would try to do different things, people would ask questions at different gatherings, and they would basically blame it on the PlayStation 2's limitations as holding them back.
Yeah.
Well, and that's good. One thing that's really cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's good to see that they've left the PlayStation 3 behind as well then.
Right, and that's one thing that's really cool about the new content creators, Yoshi P and all the different people that works with them. They've done two now, biannual fan fest, and they show up there and they, you know, mingle with the crowd, and they're just, you know, really happy that we're playing the game and just supportive of them. Yoshi P, he himself, like, he wasn't necessarily in charge of anything. He was just a guy that worked there, and he played a bunch of different MMOs throughout the years. So he's a player first, game maker second. So he knows what he would want in a game. you know, but one of the debates they're having right now is as far as the content. You know, they've had patches where people would complain that the content was too easy and that everybody just blew through it. But then at the same time, different things were complaining that it was too hard and that people would have to, you know, get stuck at where people were getting stuck in the story because they couldn't clear the content.
Yeah.
But the way they're doing the game is like the hard content isn't necessarily hard. It's just, you know, there's a lot of people that don't know how to do their jobs. But even worse, there's a lot of people that just kind of want to like basically multitask while they're playing the game. Like they want to watch Netflix, so they don't really pay attention to the mechanics. Like if you're, you know, the last fight that I did, you know, there was like an icon would pop up over a player's head and the boss would push them away from him, but we would all have to stack on top to spread the damage apart amongst everybody. And if you didn't, then that person would die. Or if it was only a couple people, they would die. But then, and then later on, it would do the pushback. And in the straight line that they did a pushback was a safe spot. And everywhere else on the map, an AoE would pop up and do a lot of damage. But then you still had to stack. So, you know, we wiped a couple times with a full party of 8. And just because a couple people weren't doing the mechanics right, and then on the third time, we got the mechanics down and one person disconnected. And so we ended up clearing the fight on the third time short a person just because, you know, there was a damage check, what they call it, a DPS check. So, you know, you have so much time to destroy a thing before a timer goes down. And if you don't, then it's an automatic wipe. We were able, like the first couple times, that's where we were dying was on that point. And so I guess I'm thinking the guy disconnected just out of frustration because he never came back. And it was pretty funny that, you know, we were short a damage dealer and we were still able to beat the DPS check and the boss.
Yeah.
So it's not that the content's hard. It's just you actually have to kind of know your job and actually pay attention to the boss's actions and actually move when you have to move as opposed to just stand there and take a hit. Because they hit a lot harder than some of the other ones where you actually die as opposed to, you know, just being able to shake it off. And, you know, I'm not one of the hardcore end game raiders. Like, I'm not going out and beating all the hard content, but I enjoy it when there's a challenge where I actually have to play my character and I actually have to pay attention and play the game. And there's some level of suspense if you're going to clear it or not. Versus, you know, you can just sit there and pretty much close your eyes and push buttons. So, you know, I'm hoping that they don't necessarily, you know, make the content too easy too soon because I'm still trying to get to that point. I'm a little behind on the story. You know, real life during the week, you know, plans on the weekends. And then, you know, I finished up Final Fantasy 15 as well as playing Final Fantasy 14.
Oh, wow. Did you really? You've been on that one for a while.
I started in January, kind of, not so much that I stuck with it, but I ended up beating the main story at about 67 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I left a lot of side quests open. I hit about level 50, and then I got to a point where, you know, I had to get on a boat, and it basically was like, from that point on, it stopped really being open world, and just it was on rails. And you know, there was a system where I could go to a rest point and go back in time, I guess, and level up if I needed to. But if you're level 45 or 50, you're a high enough level to finish everything. So just, you know, but you know, the game, once I figured out the combat and how to work with the team and that was actually a lot of fun. The villain of the game, I really liked him. He was probably one of my favorite villains in a game outside of maybe Handsome Jack in Borderlands 2. Because he was there to, like, you know, he knows you're coming after him, but he needs your help to do something. So, you know, there's points where he's hindering you because you're, you know, getting a little too strong and a little too ahead of where he wants you. But then there's other points where, you know, he kidnaps one of the four and you're going to raid the place, but he takes away all of your weapon abilities. So you have nothing other than a ring that casts magic spells. And he ends up, you know, leading you to a sword to help you take on his army to rescue your friend, so that you can end up where he wants you to end up. He's very manipulative, very, like, charismatic. I really enjoyed his scenes in the game.
Nice.
But
it's always good to have a good villain that you definitely want to play against.
Right. It's at that point, like, if you're fighting and you're just playing through the game and just to play through the game, like, it almost just becomes there's no real reason to fight. But if the villain of the game makes you hate him, it inspires you to just want to go and kick his ass.
Exactly.
And that was the case with Final Fantasy 15. Like, the game itself, like, I don't know, like, how much I would have played, but once the villain showed up and once it got past, you know, even a little bit further than the part that we played at New York, which was basically the first, like, couple quests of the game, like, literally the first, like, 5-10 minutes of the game, you know, it's definitely, the story motivated me to get through and finish it so that I could see exactly what the outcome and what his plan was and why he was using you in the way that he was.
Nice.
So, you know, right now there's a couple of DLC out for a couple of the characters that, and a lot of people are pissed about that because they feel that the DLC was basically just nuggets of the story that were taken out. You know, like,
yeah, I know how that is. I get a lot of rage when that stuff happens.
But in this one, it kind of makes more sense, I guess, because you're playing as Noctis in the story, and it would be kind of there's not really much of a reason for you to play as the other characters in the story. Like the one, the first one I'm doing is basically the tank character, Gladio, and it's his story of him like going to at least in the beginning, it's the story of him going to pass his trial to prove his worthiness to be your guardian. But I guess a lot of people are pissed is because there's a animated movie and there's an anime, and if you don't watch those, then you're missing out on some of the story for the game. Because like the movie basically shows the bad guys coming in and taking over your kingdom and, you know, killing your father. But in the game, you just get told basically through a newspaper, you read a newspaper that your dad is dead. It doesn't show what happened. So you have to watch the movie to know exactly why that happened.
Gotcha.
And then, there was a game that was originally a GameStop exclusive that, the one mechanic character that shows up in all the games, Sid, you know, he mentions about, you know, to Noctis that him and his, you know, Sid and Noctis' dad that had, you know, some time, you know, they hadn't spoken in years, but they, you know, had a lot of adventures as youths. And this game is basically one of the stories of their big adventure that they had as youths. So, you know, they're definitely taking advantage of multimedia storytelling, using different media, different formats, different outside of the game, I guess, to get people more interested in the game, because I know those came out earlier than the game actually did. Like, the movie came out, and then the GameStop game came out. So they were just trying to, I guess, build up people's interest into the game before the game came out. But if you just jump in the game, then you're probably missing out on a lot.
Yeah, probably.
But even then, I still would recommend giving it a playthrough. It's a lot of fun. I probably could have played a little bit less than some less side quests. I really didn't do much hunts. The main reason you need to do the hunts is because you burn through Gale in this game real fast with potions and different things, weapons. So, you know, you're not really at want if you do. Like, there's a couple people that give you quests where they give you just large amounts of money. The hunts give you money and experience. So, you know, if you're willing to grind Persona style, you can, you know, have an abundance of supplies and money.
Oh my gosh, man. So are you going to play Persona now that you're done, or are you going to get the expansion packs first?
Go through the expansion packs first. I'm already like halfway through the first one, and then the second one is out, so it shouldn't take me too, hopefully it shouldn't take me too long to go through those, and then I'll jump on Persona finally. Unless
after years, months.
Yes, unless that the Bikini Water Gun game comes out first, and then that will distract me for even longer.
I mean, at least we'll have something to look forward to between now and Destiny 2. Or at least I will.
Yes, a sexy shooter game.
Yeah.
Well, wait, I'm sorry. Not that's before Destiny 2, an even sexier shooter game.
It is what it is.
Exactly.
All right, everybody. That is all the time that we have for today. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Once again, we appreciate your loyal service. Hit us up on Podbean, on Facebook, on iTunes, on all the above. All right, guys. We'll catch you later. Danny, it's been fun.
It definitely has been fun. And if you go on into those sites, give us reviews. Let us know what you think. Give us any feedback. Greatly appreciated. Until then, see you guys next week.